Start to finish in his career, he was the most entertaining guy who played the game flat out. But now he's retired, so let's find out if anything's changed. The name of the book is J.R., The Fastest, The Crazy Life of Hockey's Most Outspoken, Colorful Personality. If you're number one, J.R., who's number two?
I'd have to say Brett Hull. You know, two crazy.
These guys are both gone.
Two crazy Americans. Today's game doesn't allow you to be outspoken and
Why?
Be different.
What do you mean? Why?
Well, I just think that the teams in the league really, they want to control the personalities. They want to control who's being talked about, not putting any player above the team.
See, I agree with you that today's players don't talk like that, but I don't think the rules are any tougher on them. I think they just...
It's a mentality.
Because teams you played for didn't want you speaking, right?
But it's a mentality. It's a mentality. And you know as soon as you go into a room, it's a mentality. Hockey players are very respectful. They're very honorable, and I think they're very respectful.
And dull and dry.
Well, they're dull and dry, yeah, no question. But I think they don't want to make themselves look better or bigger than anybody else in the team. And they want to stay within the team confines, and they don't want to rock the boat. And I was never a guy that was afraid to rock the boat.
Right, so you would respect a guy like Biznasty then?
I do respect
right.
him.
Even though he doesn't have, he doesn't play all the time, and he's a fourth liner. So, coming from him, it's not quite as valuable as it was coming from you.
Yeah, but what Paul Bissonnette's doing is he's creating a life for himself and a persona that hockey won't give him. Okay, he's not a very, he's not the best player in the world. He doesn't play a lot of minutes. But you know what? He's going to have a job in television or radio somewhere because he's socially getting himself out there and getting an opinion out there, and you got to respect that.
So, I screwed up the title of the book before, but I'll say it again. The Fast, Crazy Life of Hockey's Most Outspoken and Most Colorful Personality. One of your best stories in this book, I think, was about Mike Keenan, a guy who tortured you, right? You had him in Chicago. A guy who made your life miserable, but a guy you feel made you a much better hockey player.
No question. Mike Keenan is still, I love him to death. He was like a father figure to me and still is. Still very good friend.
But he was the tough love father.
He was a tough love. But I have tough love with a father. And, I talk about it in my book and my mother. So, my high school coach was tough. When I got to the National Hockey League, Keenan put it to another level and really scared me into being the player and the person that I was in the National Hockey League. And I respected him for that because I understood that he wanted more out of me and to bring the best out of me. And I had thick skin. I didn't care.
That doesn't work for everyone, right?
Especially nowadays.
So if you owned a team, which given the amount of money you made probably is possible, and you're now a successful businessman
which I hope might happen.
Right. If you owned a team, who would be on your coaching list? Just one guy.
The first guy I would think of is probably Todd McClellan in San Jose. He's a guy that knows when to raise his voice and he knows when to give good praise, and he's an unbelievable tactician.
But no record to say, hey, I've done it before. That's not a
knockout. Well, no, he's been on a team that has gotten right there, in Detroit and been under Babcock and watched. Mike Babcock, who arguably is one of the best coaches in the game.
What were the boundaries in your book? I know that, for you, you got to give stuff. You got to give gold because, if you read this book and you're telling about, forechecking, people are going to go, I don't want to read that. No. But also, everybody's going to have boundaries. So what was too far for you?
I didn't attack anybody's personal life. I didn't attack anybody's, you don't go to race or anything like that. To me, this was more about me and my ups and downs and some of the personalities that I got along with and I didn't get along with.
But there was stuff you wouldn't say about guys, right? I don't mean
well,
stuff.
There's stories in there that like I couldn't say the names of the people mm-hmm. just for, for reasons of
good taste,
humility, good taste, marriage, all the above.
Too much drinking in your day? Not by you.
Absolutely.
But by the game, like in the game.
There was too much by me. There's no question. I think it was expected and understood. When I came in the league, it was literally you go to practice. After practice, you go to the bar and you get a case and put them on ice and you drink beer with the boys.
Right, and then you got to sneak into the hotel because Mike Keenan's in the lobby waiting to see if
you're
there.
And
right?
I found a lot of ways to do that. Yeah.
And they are in the book, and that is one of the best things about the book. This is the book. He's JR. I want to know about the presidential election, and I want to know about the lockout when we return. With Jeremy Roenick, who's very proud to be an American, right? I mean, you talk about it all the time. And very proud to be an American hockey player. This was a huge week in your country. New president who will be leading for the next 4 years. Are you pleased with the result?
No, absolutely not. I'm absolutely devastated, to tell you
Why?
The truth. Because I'm really disappointed that our country reelected a president that arguably had one of the worst presidencies in the history of office, and one of the most irresponsible spending presidencies ever. The most irresponsible. And
so just let me ask, are you a Republican?
I'm a Republican.
But so would you have voted for George Bush in 2004?
Yeah, I would have voted for him.
So you think his record between 2004 was better than Obama's?
I think George Bush had arguably one of the toughest presidencies to have. I mean, he came on board and had the biggest attack on American soil of all time and had to respond to it and act to it, which led to that. I do agree that Obama inherited a big problem, but he only added to the problem with his decisions and his irresponsibility and his spending, in my opinion.
So as a Republican, as someone who has a Republican kind of view, are you more torn about the lockout than a guy who like me? I would be a Democrat if I was in the United States, and I would be 100% players. Are you kind of torn one way or the other?
I am torn. And let me just say, if Bill Clinton was running in 2008 or 2012,
right,
I would have voted for Bill Clinton. So, yeah, I'm a Republican, but I understand who does, you know, who's good for the country.
So do you see the owner's side more than
I see the owner's side in one way. It is a huge gap between 57 and 43%. That gap for the revenue share has to be closer, has to be narrowed. So I understand that they have to make more money. But I just don't understand what's going on now, that the players go to a 50-50 split. The owners say, great, but you can't have the contracts that have. We have to roll those all back right now. And to me, you sign a contract, you live by a contract. It's an honorable thing to do. And I think the owners are living on the 24% rollback they got in 2004. They're trying to do it again now. They should take the 50-50. Go on, have it about two and a half years until they can get to that 50-50 split. Hopefully the revenue continues to grow like it has been and everybody's gonna be fine. To me, I haven't seen the owners give like the players have given, and we're still not playing. But I understand the owners' situation, and I do believe that they need to have it closer. It's just the discrepancy of when they do it.
Would you agree with me that what's fair isn't necessarily what's played out in this? But it, you know, really, business is about greed. It's about getting as much as you can, whether you're a player, excuse me, and Donald Fear negotiating, or whether the owners. It's not always, hey, I want to do what's best for you and I. Mostly in business, it's about I want to get as much as I can.
And I think that's where we are. I think the owners have had enough of the wide gap in revenue. And they're saying we're not going to take it. We're going to get it back. We're going to get it back now. And there's going to be no negotiating. And unfortunately, the players are saying no. There's got to be no negotiation because this is a business, and we have to make sure that it's gotten there the proper way. And so far, it's just I can't believe it's not done yet.
I don't understand your feud on Twitter. It's hard to understand because you have a guy, right, that's been how would you categorize what he's been doing? He's been attacking you, right?
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Big time.
Right.
Unbelievable. And like, there are people on Twitter that say things and do things and have that faceless courage, and they will say things that totally demean the human race and demean what it's about to be human, and they say things that I wouldn't even say to my worst enemy. And they go way over the boundaries of what is adequate. Or
So this guy has been tweeting. You've chosen to go public with this, right?
Well, that's, no, I,
you
I wasn't
block him, right?
No, I chose. It's not that I chose to go public with it. I had a certain Twitter exchange with him, and then he said, "Follow me. I want to personal message you," which I did. We had personal messages back and forth, and then again he did the low class thing, copied all the private messages,
right,
and put them out there, right, which, you know, hey, that's, you take what you get what you take. But, you know, I like to make sure that I don't let people get away with just
saying
anything.
You know what, if he's pushed you too far, then he's really gone too far. Cause you're a guy with thick skin who guys like me can push and nudge, and you'll fight back. And that's what makes you JR. That's what makes you, to me, one of the most interesting guys who's played the game, and that big buildup here. And that's what makes you qualified to write a book that says The Fast, Crazy Life of Hockey's Most Outspoken and Most Colorful Personality.
It all fits.
It does.
It all fits.
Great to see you, man.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it.